When you call on Jesus, things happen. Amen. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. It's not just an end to your prayer. And in the name of Jesus, amen. No, you're praying in who he is. Amen. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think by the power that works in us. How many people are ready to hear the word of God? Amen. Brother Eddie is preaching for us today. I'm excited about this. Amen. He's been toting the gospel for a long, long time, and he ain't got tired yet. Amen. Come on, Brother Eddie, preach to us. Give us what's on your heart. How many people are going to help him preach? Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Damon. Mark chapter 7. Read one verse. And it's found in verse number 24. Mark chapter 7. I'll read that and can be seated. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and didn't want nobody to know it. That's what it says, and would have nobody know it. But he could not be hid. You can be seated. When I was young, I used to listen to the old people, and they'd tell you what's laying out ahead of you, what's expecting in the future. None of them ever told me that rigor mortis sets in before you die in some parts of your body. They never told me that, but I'm finding out the hard way. Life don't seem to be fair. I went from pimples almost into wrinkles. There's not much time in between. But ain't you glad wrinkles don't hurt? Amen. Amen. If they did, I'd be miserable. This chapter here is a wonderful chapter, and most people preach out of it. They talk about the Syrophoenician woman, and it was a great miracle that she got from him. And he also healed a man that was deaf and had a speech problem. So there's two miracles in this chapter, but there's really just one message that he wanted to get across. And the message that Jesus wanted to get across was to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the message was, it's what's coming from the inside that's defiling people, not the outside. I used to tell people all the time, if I'm going to drink a cup of coffee of the morning, if there's going to be any dirt or filth on the cup, I'd rather it be on the outside than on the inside. And this was the message that Jesus was trying to get across to them, because the Pharisees, they believed in a resurrection. And that's why they was fair, you see. And the Sadducees, they didn't believe in a resurrection. And that's why they were sad, you see. But the verse, the words that really stuck with me is that he could not be hid. All of my life, I've heard, Darren, that people say, if you're going in business, if you're going to have a church, it's location, location, location. And they say, that's the main thing that matters. Boy, Jesus, he blew that plumb off the map. He blew that theory plumb off the map, because I don't care where he went, they sought him. They wanted him. They could find him. So the real thing is, don't worry about location. Worry about having Jesus in your location. Because if the church is alive, it's worth the drive. And this is the main thing when it comes to worshiping God. We need spiritual churches, because people need a spiritual walk with God. They've already got the natural, all of the natural that they need and want. So we need to give them something greater than what they have. And that's what Jesus offers. He offers something that will satisfy your spirit. And they sought him out no matter where he would go. He could not be hid. In fact, God didn't want him to be hid. He couldn't be hid in his birth, although an angel had appeared to Mary and said, "You're highly favored among women," and said, "You're going to have a child, and the holy thing that's going to be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest." And he said, "Elizabeth is already 6 months with the child, and she hid herself because she was an old woman, and she thought it was bad to be pregnant at an old age, but they ought to know they was a daughter of Sarah. Sarah was 90 years old before she had her first child." That can't happen today, because if you lay your baby down, you wouldn't know where you put it at. You, most people would lose it. But if God's going to give you a child, God's going to give you mind enough to know where it's at. But he couldn't be hid in his birth. And I'll tell you why. There was a star that had been waiting for thousands of years for a certain day, a certain night. And that star was going to appear when the Messiah was to be born. And so we couldn't be hid in his birth, because here come a star that nobody had ever seen before. And they wondered what it was, so they followed the star. And the night that he was born, the Bible says, angels appeared unto the shepherds abiding by the flocks by night. And the first words that were spoken to man after the birth of Jesus was, "Fear not." The angel spoke to the shepherds. And the Bible says, "And a great light shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." And the first two words after Jesus was born that was preached was, "Fear not." I believe we ought to preach that today more than anything. We're living in a fearful time, but we've got Jesus on our side. He's going to take care of everything. He always does. Cast your care upon him. Every care you have, cast it upon him. My wife used to tell people that Jesus fixed more stuff around the house for her than I did. Because she'd pray and things would happen. Fear not. We got so many people today that's afraid of everything. Afraid to go to the doctor. Afraid of what they'll hear. Afraid not to go. Afraid they'll die. Afraid of this. Afraid of that. Afraid to go to church. Afraid somebody will bump the car door. Afraid to do this. Afraid to do that. Listen, Jesus is alive. Don't fear. You can quit fear. Hallelujah. And listen, the Bible says, "And there was with the angel a great multitude of a heavenly host that had been practicing one stanza for a song for thousands of years. And when Jesus was born, they came with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, and sang to the shepherds. And the song was, 'Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men.'" Hallelujah. One song that they sang, a multitude of them. Can you imagine, boy, people around there hearing the music from heaven have been practicing that one song for so many thousands of years, and now they get to sing it because Jesus is born. Jesus was born not just for the Jews, but for everybody. Hallelujah. And we ought to worship him today like he's supposed to be worshiped. He loves praise. He loves to be exalted. He loves to be talked about. God in the old Bible, he would say, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He wanted people to know, "I'm the God of this person." Oh, I can understand him wanting to be the God of Abraham. What a man of faith. A man that God promised a son, and 25 years later, when he had got 100 years old, God gave him the promise when it was he was past having children. But with God, all things are possible. With God, you're not past anything. You could pass from this life and still have life. With God, all things are possible to them that believe. I'm a witness to that. Just a little over a year ago, 5 o'clock in the morning, Doug Justice typed to my son and get ready to send a message. "Today's the day God's going to move." He didn't know if God's going to take me or heal me. But he said, "Today's the day that God's going to move." 5 o'clock in the morning. Should I hit sin or not hit sin? Well, the old saints believed it like this. I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, I'm a winner either way. He debated, should I send this? Should I not? The last message that the doctor gave Tracy was the next step should be would be a heart transplant. He's 78 years old. There's no way that they'll put him on a heart transplant. He's in kidney failure. He can't go on it. Said, we may have to let him go. When the doctor said, I may have to let him go, Doug hit sent and he said, today's the day God's going to move. And God turned it around. And I'm alive because somebody believed God. Somebody believed God. I'm telling you, God, we don't know what God's going to do. This may be the day that God's going to move for you. And when he does, he wants people to know about it. So he couldn't be hid in his birth. While he was being born, the angels were singing. And the heavenly host and the star was shining. And people knew about it. King Herod, he wanted to know from the wise men. He said, tell me about this king. And he said, well, we'll tell you what scripture says. See, that's all they had was the scripture. They had the verses of the Bible that predicted his birth. And they told the king where he said it. The Bible said he was going to be born at. And if the Bible said he was going to be born at this place, that's where he's going to be born at. And so the king said, well, he said, I want to go worship him. But he didn't want to go worship him. He wouldn't really go kill him. But God's got all things in control. He's in charge of everything. He's got a hold of Putin's mind. He's got a hold of, if Biden's got a mind, he's got a hold of his too. He's in control. I'm not worried about what's going to happen. Somebody said, well, they'll kill you for preaching the gospel. Don't threaten me with heaven. Hallelujah. I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay. He couldn't be hid in his birth, and he couldn't be hid in his dedication. 8 days, they took the child to the priest, and there was an old man in the temple by the name of Simeon. God had spoke to him through the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it showed him he was not going to see death until he saw the salvation of God. So, what a promise. Wouldn't you like to have that promise? Nothing could kill you until you've seen a certain thing. He had that promise. 8 days, here comes Mary and Joseph to present Jesus to God, to dedicate him and to be circumcised and offer him to the Lord with 2 turtle doves and 2 pigeons as was required by the law. And that man, Simeon, had been doing that work for over and over and over. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. And they throw the swaddling clothes back, which we would call a receiving blanket. And he looked at that child. And when he looked at that child, he had looked at many a baby that had been offered to God, because when a woman had a child, a male child in the old Bible, they didn't know whether it was going to be the Messiah or not, but every one of them wanted male children that they might be the one that bring forth the Messiah unto the world. And here Simeon looked down, and when he seen it, you know what? The angels had just preached 8 days ago to the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He never become a Savior. He was born a Savior. He looked down and saw that baby. I've been preaching 50-some years, and I evangelized in a lot of different places. And I go, and these new mothers that bring their baby out and want to show me, look here, Brother Eddie, look at my baby. Don't you think it's beautiful? And I'm looking at it. It's red as a beet, wrinkled as a prune, ain't got no hair, no teeth. And I'm supposed to think it's beautiful. But you know what? I didn't spend 9 months with a heartburn trying to find clothes that wouldn't fit in front and back or sides. couldn't sleep at night, sat up. I didn't go through 9 months of that. If I'd went through that, I'd have probably thought it was beautiful too. So I try to do my best. Oh, what a great child. What a great baby that is. But when Simeon saw Jesus, hallelujah, there was no physical evidence that let him know it was Jesus. The Bible said it had been revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. Jesus did not look any different than his contemporaries because somebody had to point him out so that they knew who he was. And that's our job, is to point him out, to let the world know who Jesus is. Whoa! Lord have mercy. 8 days when they said a Savior is born. You know what happened to Simeon after he saw Jesus? He felt ready to meet God. That's what a Savior does. He gets you ready to meet God. He looked up and said, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Wow. He came into the world making people feel like they're ready to meet God because he's a Savior. He left this world hanging on a cross. And the thief looked at him and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus, being a Savior, said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise," because a Savior saves. That's what he does. And he's still saving. But he couldn't be hid, because God did not want him hid. And thank God that he's not hid today. He couldn't be hid at his baptism either. When John the Baptist seen him coming, in John chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 35, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He said, "John, I want you to baptize me." John said, "Hey, Lord have mercy, you need to baptize me." He said, "I feel like you should baptize me." He said, "You just suffered so to be right now that we can fulfill what the law says." And he couldn't be hid during his baptism. John had baptized a many people. But he would make sure when he preached to them, he'd say, "Hey, you bunch of generation of snakes, who's warned you to flee from the wrath of God?" He said, "If you want me to baptize you, bring forth meat, fruit to meet your repentance. I want to see a good life or something. I want to see you change from your ways so I can baptize you." He preaches strong. And here comes Jesus to be baptized of John in the river of Jordan. And the Bible said when he baptized him, he straightway come up out of the water and the heavens opened. He can't be hid. He can't be hid because God don't want him hid. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hallelujah. I'm thanking God that God did not want him to be hid from the world. He wanted him to be manifested. And Bible says, "And there came a dove from heaven and lit upon him and remained." And John the Baptist said, "He that sent me to baptize said, when you see the spirit of a dove land upon him and remain, that's him. That's the one." Hallelujah. You know what happened one time? Ever since Adam fell from the garden, there had been God looking for somebody that he could rest upon. But he never could find it. When Noah was in the ark, God said, "Noah, come thou into the ark." That lets me know God was inside. Tell him to come in. And God shut the door. Noah had one window. That window was straight up above. After a certain amount of time, it quit raining so many days, Noah opened the window and he let a raven out. And that raven left and to and fro. Never did come back. God sent a dove out. I mean, Noah. He sent a dove out. And after a week, the dove came back. Couldn't find no rest for the sole of his feet. And there was a connection between that dove and Adam. Noah, he took the dove and brought it back into the ark. There was a connection between that dove and Noah. After another week, he sent it out again. And the dove came back with an olive leaf in its mouth. And Noah knew that the waters was abating upon the face of the earth. And he brought it back in and kept it another week and turned it loose. And the dove never came back. I believe God's had his spirit that he wants to put upon people from the beginning of time. And the Bible would say, like it did Samson, and the spirit of the Lord came upon him. And the spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And the spirit of the Lord came upon David. And the spirit of the Lord came upon them. But you know what? It never remained. But this dove that came when Jesus was baptized. And John said, when it comes upon him like a dove and remains, that's him. Don't look for another. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people out there preaching all different kinds of doctors. I'm not looking for another. I done found the one. I found the one that the dove landed on and remained. And I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to worship him till the end of time. Hallelujah. He couldn't be hid in his baptism. And you know what? God said, this is my beloved son. Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the first thing the devil said, if thou be the son of God. That's what the devil's job is. We come to church twice a week. We're here about 2.5-3 hours each time. So that's probably 5 hours maybe we spend time in church. There's 168 hours in a week. If you sleep 8 hours a night, you can deduct 56 hours from that. So that puts you at 112 hours a week that we're outside in the stores or somewhere, and the devil is filling our minds with stuff that should not be. You go in a store and you hear a song that gets in your spirit, gets in your mind. You can't hardly get away from it. You hear things on the job. You hear things on the news. It gets in your mind. All of that 112 hours a week that we're hearing things that we shouldn't be hearing. When we come to the house of God, and they begin to sing about the word of God, how great God is. We begin to preach about how great God is. It builds our faith. It gives us hope. It gives us courage. It gives us love for one another. Oh, that's why it's so needful that we gather together in the house of God and don't be slack in the end time as some is. But we need to come together. I love people. I love fellowship. I love shaking hands, bumping fists, hugs. COVID almost done away with hugs. But I don't care. I still like to hug. And I'm going to hug Cindy every time I can. I don't care if Randy gets mad or not. He's just going to have to. And he won't get mad because he knows I love Cindy. I love y'all. But listen, our job is to not hide Jesus, manifest him. He could not be hid in his baptism. He could not be hid in his earthly ministry. He tried to sneak off. He didn't want nobody to know he was in that house. But there is a Syrophoenician woman, and there is a deaf guy that's so glad they found him because they got what they needed from Jesus. He wanted rest. He wanted to sneak off and get somewhere. He couldn't do it because he had what the world needed, and the world begin to seek after him. Right now, there's a very few in number that really knows what Jesus has. But pretty soon, there's going to be a great number coming. That's why I say build a church big. Put as many seats as you can. Never underestimate the power of God. That's right. Never underestimate. Because people right now, they're dependent upon the government for most of their supplies. But when it comes down to they have to depend upon Jesus, your churches is going to be filled up. Why? Because when Jesus has what you need, you're going to seek him out till you find it. Hallelujah. I'm expecting something great. I'm expecting a great move of God. And I don't want you to wheel me in no nursing home until I see revival. I mean real revival. I've watched revival happen before. This guy called me from Virginia one time. And I'm going to preach real fast. And I may not get all of it preached. He called me. He said, I need you to come down and hold a revival for me for 4 nights. And I was running the bread route. Get up about 4 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes earlier. I said, oh, okay. And he said, I'd like for you to come Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. I said, okay, I got to work Thursday and Friday and Saturday. He never said a word. I said, I think I can do it. And I kept waiting for him to say, well, maybe just Saturday and Sunday. He never said a word. I kept trying to find excuses in this. Finally, he said, well, are you coming or not? I said, yes, sir, I'll be there. We had a great meeting Thursday night, and I preached my heart out. Friday night, we had a great meeting. I preached my heart out. Saturday night, we had a great meeting. I preached my voice out. I mean, I really preached. I went back Sunday. I got just a little bit of voice left. So they started singing. And I joined in with the singing and lost what little bit of voice I had. So it was getting time for me to come up to preach. I didn't know what I was going to do. But I've been praying. I said, God, you called this revival. I don't care if I can preach or not, but God, you got to do something. Before he called me up to preach, I couldn't say nothing. Before he called me up, there's a young kid in the back got up and went to the altar. And they stayed there for a few minutes. And here come another one. And here come another one. And in a few minutes, one of them got up and went back and started praying for another one. And they come up. Every child in that church got up and started giving their heart to God. There was revival broke out through the kids that they had never went past 9 o'clock at night since they've been living, but they were still praying at the altar at 9:30 at night. They loaded the children on the bus to take them home that night. Some of them were speaking in tongues. Some of them were singing. Some of them was clapping. I'm telling you, I've never seen such a revival. And God said, it's not you. It's not your voice. When I get ready to move, I'll move, because it's not by will, not by power, but it's my spirit, saith the Lord. God's got his spirit. He can convict anybody, anytime. And we need to realize it's not us, it's God. He couldn't be hid in his earthly ministry. And I'll quickly run through a couple more points. He couldn't be hid at his crucifixion. I mean, the world denied him. The world hated him. The world crucified him. They didn't want nothing to do with him. But nature had something to say about his crucifixion. When he was hanging on the cross, naked, before the world, God said, "Son, go down. I don't want nobody to see this." Darkness came over the face of the earth. The Bible says, and the moon refused to shine. There was no light because God did not want the world to look upon the shame that he was going through with. Not only that, but when they stuck that spear into his side, here forth come water and blood, and the earth had never tasted blood like it was of the blood of Jesus. That was powerful blood. It was a preordained blood. It was a perfect blood. It was blood that was innocent blood. And it was the blood of God, because Acts 19 said God purchased the church with his own blood. When that blood hit the earth, the Bible said the rocks began to burst open and the graves of the saints began to raise up out of the grave. And the Bible said the veil of the temple rent from top to bottom, which signified this is coming from heaven. And there's a new way into the holiness of God made by the flesh of Jesus. When his flesh was opened up, our way into God was opened up. Thank God. The world, the earth, the sun, the moon, they all testified. And one of the centrons stood by and said, surely this was the Son of God. Hallelujah. But it's too late now. Too late. They done it now. Thank God. Thank God they did. He said, when I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He had a small crowd of disciples. Boy, if you could count his disciples now, it'd be unbelievable. He's a man that never wrote a book. This was wrote by holy men of old as the Holy Ghost moved upon them. But the book's all about him. I don't reckon he ever wrote a song, but there've been more songs wrote about him and his name than any man that's ever walked the face of the earth. There's been more colleges, more schools raised up in his honor than anybody you could ever think of. His name is far above all names. He couldn't be hid while he was up on this earth. So they said, well, here comes a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. Now listen to me. He said, he craved the body of Jesus. He went to Pilate, and the Bible said he craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave it to him. He said, I've got a tomb that's mine. I want him to be buried in it. And they buried him in that tomb. Now listen, he came into this world in a barred womb, and he left in a barred tomb. And when he come back, he come back in the upper room. I ain't no poet, but I know that rhymes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so they thought, we're going to hide him from the world. And so they rolled the stone up there. Early one morning at the breaking of dawn, two women went out to the garden alone. They were going to anoint Jesus with spices that day. But Jesus had risen, the stone rolled away. Hallelujah. Well, when Mary told Peter that Jesus was gone, he ran to the garden and John came along. But the tomb, it was empty. What marvelous grace, for there lies the napkin that covered his face. Hallelujah. He could not be hid in death. Go to any founder of any religion and find out how they are. And you'll find out about the religion. If the founder of your religion is dead, your religion is dead. Go to the grave of Buddha. I got a picture of when I was in Vietnam. And they got a big statue of a Buddha. And I told this guy, I said, you know how to work a camera? So I give him this. I said, take a picture of me. I got underneath Buddha. And it looked like I was holding him up. You know what? I might could hold Buddha up, But I'm going to tell you something. You know who's holding me up? Jesus. Hallelujah. Buddha's dead. You go to the grave of Buddha and it says, here lies Buddha. You go to the grave of Joseph Smith who founded Mormons. And it's going to say, here lies Joseph Smith. Go to the grave of any founder. But you go to the tomb of Jesus. They said, he's not here. He has risen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're serving a risen Savior. And he said, because I live, you shall live also. Thank God he couldn't be hid in death. And he don't want you to hide, or he don't want you to try to hide him. He wants you to tell about him. But somebody said, well, I can't find him. Jeremiah 29:13. God said, you shall find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. So you just told on yourself. You just told on yourself. You're not seeking him with your whole heart. Once you find him, he's like measles. He'll break out wherever you go. If you got him, you're not going to be the only one that knows it. When they brought Peter and John up before the council to question them, and they answered stuff and told him, said, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And the Bible says they took knowledge that these men were ignorant and unlearned, but they took knowledge they had been with Jesus. Now, I don't know if you want to label me ignorant and unlearned. That'd be fine with me. But you go tell somebody, man, that guy's been with Jesus. In fact, Jesus raised him twice from the dead. He raised that guy from the dead. I'm telling you, we're witnesses that Jesus is a resurrected Savior. He said, because I live, you shall live also. I know one thing. My daughter sends me pictures that was happened a year ago today. And they wanted to take my leg off. They wanted to take my feet off. They wanted to do this. They wanted to do that. And she sent me pictures of it. But no, here I am standing in the pulpit. Hallelujah. A year later telling you what God has done for me. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Hallelujah. My Savior's alive. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. We ought to worship a risen Savior. Tell the world he's alive.
Amen, amen. Somebody thank the Lord. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand? Amen. He's so good. He's so good. Amen, amen. There's no reason to hide him now. Amen. He will not be hid. As I sing this song, would you stand? I want to give you an altar call if you need to pray. A call to the altar. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus, you're missing out. You're missing out. I'm not going to try to push him on you, but I'm going to beg you to come. If you don't know him, would you come? Would you come and pray today if he's dealing with your heart? Here's how this works. Here's how this works. You will not come as long as I stand here and ask you unless the Spirit is drawing you. But if the Spirit is drawing you right now, you have heard the gospel preached. It is the power of God unto salvation. You don't even have to know what it all means. You just got to know this. God's dealing with me right now. God's drawing me right now. And today's my date with destiny. If somebody's in your way, move them out of your way. Because he wants to shine in you. He don't want to be hid in you. The gospel's hid to those. But we're not those. We're not those. If he's dealing with your heart, I beg you, come and let us pray with you. As they sing this song, would you come?
You said if we would pray and we would seek and humbly lay our lives down at your feet, that you would bring us to a place where earth and heaven meet. For your glory, make us holy. So we have come to kneel before your throne with faith and confidence.